In the fourth grade, I had a friend named Jeff. Now, that's not his real name. Just in case he's listening on the internet, we want to change his name to Jeff. Jeff lived in the block behind me. And sometimes we would walk home from school together. Now, something in our relationship soured. And I don't know what that was. We were in fourth grade. Who remembers what that was? But it was significant enough that I would avoid walking home with him. Or he would harass me on the way home. Eventually, things escalated. We began to exchange words, and he would get in my face. What was I to do? Well, what would anyone do in such circumstances? You ask your big brother, Stu, what do I do? Here's this guy following me home, harassing me, getting in my face. Now, Stu, of course, was a man of wisdom at 19, so he knew exactly what to do. Should I hit the guy? Should I run away? Now, Stu's advice was to take the harassment. However, as soon as he touches you, you have permission to hit him. Never hit first, he said. That would be wrong. But if he makes the first move, then you have all the freedom to hit him. Such was the wisdom of the time. So what happened? The next day, it only took a day, lo and behold, Jeff followed me home from school, got in my face, and he pushed me. There is the green light of freedom. So I hit him square between the eyes, and I broke his glasses. And I ran home as fast as I could, only to spend the rest of the day hearing from my mother, getting a phone call from his mother, and trying to explain myself. Now, I don't pretend to say that what Jesus has to say to us today isn't any way easy. Generations have argued about how to interpret Jesus' injunctions with the complexity of conflict, both at a personal and a community and a state level. How do you turn the other cheek? Now, if you want an intense and powerful depiction of this on a grand scale, go see Hacksaw Ridge. How many of you have seen Hacksaw Ridge? Go see it. Not good for the kids, but it's fantastic. True story of an army medic and pacifist serving, of course, in the most brutal war our world has ever known. Now, the easy way out is for most interpreters of Scripture is to say that passages like this in the Sermon on the Mount only apply to personal situations. And passages like Romans 13, if you want to look that up right now, that's fine. Those are the ones that speak of the public situations, which talk of the ability of the state to punish. St. Paul says, if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. So interpreters simply say, oh, the Sermon on the Mount, that's for personal relationships. Romans 13 is for everybody. And on a certain level, that makes sense. But it also seems like a way to get everyone off the hook. Even on a personal level, like my situation as a child, we can always say, well, how then do you defend yourself? And we appeal to self-defense. We have laws about self-defense. Therefore, Jesus' words then are hyperbole and cannot be practically carried out. Again, I think that gets us off the hook. But even the great Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote a book on the Sermon on the Mount, who wrote a book on ethics, which described his convictions as a pacifist, even he himself was part of an assassination attempt on Hitler. It's complicated. We can't say that this was easy, or this is easy. But rather than trying to go too far in how we apply these words to ourselves, remember where we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is like building blocks. We have the Beatitudes. Then we have his teaching on anger and lust. If Jesus' command to turn the other cheek and to love our enemies, if that's all we had, we might throw up our arms and say, I don't know how to do this. Yet, if we are conditioned to be poor in spirit, to be peacemakers, to show mercy, to refrain from anger and insult, then we have some building blocks in which we can build. These are like the warm-ups for the big one. Love your enemy. Now, to understand what Jesus was getting at, who was the enemy of his day? We might think, well, it's the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders. And all of those arguments are very intense. However, those are family fights. Those are not fights with enemies. We know the enemy was the Romans. The Romans were the enemy, and they played the role very well. Now, the Jews had an exemption to many of the Roman pagan and brutal practices. There was an understanding that the Jews did not have to participate in offering sacrifices to the gods, in taking vows in honor of Caesar, or to take part in the games in the arena, which were barbaric. They didn't have to associate with those who practiced polygamy. You think our day is bad? Just do a little searching on the sexual practices of the Roman Empire. They didn't have to associate with those who practice infanticide. And what the Jews gave in return was paying taxes. And as a goodwill gesture, offering sacrifice and prayer in the temple on behalf of the emperor. Not to his honor, but in behalf of. However, there were always random abuses and violence in the name of the emperor. Arbitrary calls for more taxes. The threat of death. Being imprisoned or enslaved at any point for any reason.